When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself. If he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." And there was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? And we have indeed been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Life is more than meets the eye. This August, Edgar Degas' famed Portrait of a Woman was found through a powerful X-ray technique to conceal the portrait of another woman. Degas used thin layers of oil paint to produce this prized portrait in 1876. By 1922, sort of 45 years later, art experts criticized the discoloration as the underlying, but at that time unknown, paint bled through. Now, this is not unusual. In the same way with the X-ray technique, a decade ago, Van Gogh's patch of grass, all that multi-colored green, was found to conceal a prior painting of a peasant woman. In fact, subsequent work has found that at least a third of Van Gogh's work conceals another work. You know, sometimes an artist will go back and change an item in their composition, the placement of a hand or even a head, and when the evidence of those changes are revealed, as paint becomes more transparent as it ages, those alterations are referred to as pentimento, or if there are multiple ones, pentimenti. It's a term taken from the Italian word to repent, pentirsi, as the artist has changed his or her mind and repented the initial composition. This superimposing of a change to the original can also be found in old manuscripts, as parchment prepared from animal hides was expensive. This alteration of text is referred to as palimpsest, a Greek word meaning to scrape, pao, and again, palin. In ancient times, milk and oat bran would be used to wash vellum so it could be used again. In the Middle Ages, powdered pumice would be used. Either way, over time, just as in paintings, the former writing would reappear. Now, I suspect most of us in here don't have to travel back in time 1,000 years, as many of us remember using whiteout before the advent of the computer. I'm bringing up this phenomena of pentimento and palimpsest when two images compete for the same space as a way of understanding why we read of Jesus' crucifixion as we celebrate the reign of Christ. When the church speaks about the reign of God, we're not speaking about the triumph of power, but rather the triumph of crucified power, the vindication of crucified justice, the jubilance of crucified righteousness. You know, through the overlay of resurrection, we still see crucifixion bleeding through. In Jesus, power keeps company with pain. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss. You know, here in this textual setting of Jesus between two criminals, we explore the nature of power and who rules. You know, Luke first has the religious leaders scoff and challenge the identity of this crucified one as the Messiah. You know, a religious title. You know, just follow the text. Next, the Roman soldiers come forward mocking, "If you are the king of the Jews," a political title. And finally, the third mockery is by one who shares his fate. Jesus is thus reviled by the faithful, the lawful, and even a mortal wrongdoer. Notice that forgiveness is extended, not from a throne of power, but from a place of solidarity. One of those crucified and rejected alongside of Jesus sees power not in the ones doing the crucifying, but in the one who is accompanying him in rejection, suffering, and death, and thus asked to be remembered in his kingdom. The painter who paints over a prior painting, or the writer who scrapes again the vellum, is doing so because the canvas or the parchment has value, precious enough to be repurposed. In resurrecting Jesus, crucified for his faithfulness, God repurposes a life and redefines what power looks like and who wields it. The repurposing of resurrection is also God's affirmation of your life. You know, your life is not a throwaway canvas or a dispensable scroll. You don't like the way things look in your life? Pentimento. It can be changed, repented from, and repainted. You don't find yourself in the narrative of your own life? Palimpsest. It can be washed, baptized, written anew. You know, yes, occasionally the old will bleed through, but the canvas has been repurposed. It and you have value. Or in time, fragments of an older narrative will reappear, but it and you are no longer dominated by that old narrative. You too have been repurposed, resurrected for life anew. Jesus assures the one next to him of forgiveness, not as one who has power to lord it over, but as a fellow sufferer, a companion through the shadows of death. Wouldn't you too want to be remembered, reassembled, reborn into such a reign of mercy? Pentimento. Jesus' crucifixion re-images power, not as judging or compelling one to do something, but as the repurposing of a life by forgiveness, the restoration of justice, the recasting of a beloved community. Palimpsest. Remember us, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom. Remember us. Thanks be to God. Amen.